John the Baptist was not the Messiah. He was not the Christ, not the Lord, not the Savior. He was just the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight, make level the pathways of the Lord. Preach down the mountains, raise up the valleys, lay it down flat. The Lord is on his way. We will be in the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. And by way of reminder, we have studied the life, the ministry, the teachings of John the Baptist as it's portrayed in Scripture. And today, as the previous weeks, John the Baptist's life is over, but his ministry impact is still being felt in the lives of the believers in the first century. And the same truth they experience is the same truth you and I can draw from today. We will be in a very familiar passage of Scripture, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, whatever you want to refer to it as. We'll be in Luke chapter 11. We're going to start in verse number 1 and read through verse number 4. Here is God's counsel for us. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" God's word, the message, is designed around the topic of prayer. One of the most powerful components of our faith, often overlooked, prayer. Often it's underutilized, isn't it? My aim for our time together in the Word is not to teach you stanza by stanza about verse. I'm not going to exegete the text. I just want to encourage you to pray. That's all I want. That's all God wants. God wants us to pray. And today I will be dealing with personal prayer. Not corporate, not in the worship sense, but just personal prayer. Let's go back to verse number 1 of Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." What we find before we get into the practice of prayer, number 1, is the desire for more. It's the desire for more prayer. You can talk about prayer. If you're like me, you read books about prayer. You just want more. In the text, in verse number 1 of Luke 11, we find the desire for more. Jesus was praying in a certain place. His disciples knew that. After Jesus was finished, his disciples asked him, "Show us how it's done. Teach us. We want more. We want more. Teach us like John taught his disciples." So, in some sense, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray, how to spend time with God the Father. They said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Notice the request for prayer. They did not ask, which I would have asked, "Lord, teach me how to preach. Show me how to do it. I need some help." Notice they did not say preach, nor did they ask, Lord, teach us to do miracles. We as Baptists would say, Lord, teach us how to multiply the fish and the loaves. We're going to have a fish fry. Oh, and by the way, in the summer, we are going to have a fish fry. Just a little quick announcement, a little glimpse at summertime. Lord, teach us how to do miracles. And all of us would say, Lord, teach us to resurrect the dead. Our loved ones who have gone back before, we want to bring them back to life. And none of those were the requests found in Luke chapter 11 when they said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. Prayer is not just talking to God. It's not just requesting stuff from God or asking God. Prayer is spending time with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is worshiping God. Prayer is learning about God. In fact, prayer is not an action. It's an experience in which you learn how to trust in God. When you spend time with Him in His presence, you really develop trust. The disciples saw the devotion of Christ, that Christ went and prayed, and they said, we want that. Now, the greatest example for humanity is Jesus Christ. Can I remind you who He is? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Son of God, yet Son of Man. The great I Am. And yet, Jesus prayed. He said, Pastor, did He need to? No. He wanted to. We need to. We want to. They have the greatest example of prayer in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me show you how He prayed in Scripture. There will be two verses on this next slide, Mark chapter 1 and Matthew 14, showing us how Christ prayed. It says in Mark 1, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place. Listen to this, beloved. And there He prayed. He said, Pastor, is there biblical proof for a morning devotion? I think that's a good one. And for those of you who say, I'm not a morning person, I'm a night owl, the next one is your scripture reference. And after He dismissed the crowds, He went upon the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. Jesus prayed in the mornings. He prayed in the evening. Jesus prayed. His disciples saw that. They witnessed it. And they said, we want more. You say, Pastor, when you say it that way, are you talking about quantity or are you talking about quality of prayer? Yes. More. More. Because when you enter into the presence of God, you just want more. I'm talking about when you pray with God and then you have no clue what time it is. You just realize, I've been in the presence of God and I want more. It's the desire for more. Back in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, the first portion of that verse. And He said to them, When you pray. Here is point number two about prayer. This is making prayer personal. One of the disciples, I suppose it's Peter, asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. We don't know if it's Peter, but it's likely. We want more prayer. Give us instruction. And then Jesus says, when you pray, and then He'll give practical ways in which to pray, avenues of prayer. Now, sometimes we call this the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. This is the prayer that lost people know. They can quote this better than sometimes believers can. Or maybe before a basketball or a football game, you said this prayer as a student athlete. I think, man, this is powerful. And then right after you get through saying the Lord's Prayer, you say, and we're going to go out and we're going to take care of this team. And then you use language not found in Scripture. This prayer, I want you to see it's personal.
I'm not talking about corporate worship prayer. I'm not talking about our Wednesday night prayer meeting, which is fantastic, by the way. I'm talking about the prayer. This is for you personally, not for someone else, not to the person to your side or behind you or in front of you. And in fact, when I'm preaching this to you, I'm preaching it to myself. Prayer is for you. It's personal. Now, understand the Greek text is second person plural. Understand that. But he's saying to the disciples, you need this. And then all the instructions, all the practicalities are very individualistic. Prayer is personal. And I want you to follow this. God wants you to pray. He wants you to spend time with him, talk with him, get in his presence. God wants you to pray. It's a shame. Prayer, one of the most powerful weapons and activities we could ever embark upon, and we don't utilize it. We often skip it, or we keep it brief. Or even in a worship service, we make it like the bookends of our service. Let's begin and end with prayer. That's a good way to transition. Prayers are not transitions. Prayer is prayer. We pray in the church. We pray in the worship service. But I'm talking about your personal prayer life. In the mornings when you get up, you talk to your God. Let me overemphasize this. Let me repeat it again, because I'm going to keep saying it because it's so important. God wants to meet with you. God wants to pray with you. He wants to be with you. Can I remind you of who God is? The creator of everything. He wants to meet with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to unload everything that's on your heart. Personal prayer. Let me give you two outlets for your prayer life, as evidenced by Jesus in Scripture. Devotion. In the morning, Jesus spent time devotionally in prayer. He spent times periodically throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. The first way is devotionally. The second is not devotionally. The second is in desperation. When things go from bad to worse, when a crisis erupts, when uncertainty flies your way, that's when you get desperate, and that's when God wants you to pray. It's okay to pray when things go bad, when things are uncertain. God wants you to come to him. Realize this, Jesus prayed devotionally, and he prayed desperately. Luke chapter 22, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is known for his prayer, or his prayers. It says in verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was desperate in prayer. You need to pray devotionally, and you need to pray desperately. God expects both. He wants both. And beloved, you need to pray in both outlets. It's the desire for more. It's the making prayer personal. And now I'm going to show you in Scripture, there's four reasons prayer is personal. On the following verses, we'll be back in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, and read through verse 4. But there's four reasons why prayer is personal in the text. Back in verse number 2, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Let me give you the first reason prayer is personal. This is point A. Prayer is personal because you get to speak directly to God our Father. We're talking about the Creator, the sustainer of the universe. And Jesus says, in regards to prayer, guys, take it straight to the Father. No diversions, no delays. You go to your Heavenly Father in all of his holiness, with his kingdom at hand. You get to speak to him. He's the boss. You can talk to the man in charge, or the God in charge. You don't have to deal with his secretary. You don't get put on hold. You don't have to leave a message and he'll get back to you at a later time. You get to speak directly to God. It's not like when we pray, it's like, oh, you got to deal with customer service. That's everyone's favorite, right? In the last Snowmageddon we had, we were snowed in our internet went out. Now, I can fix some of that stuff, just so you know. I can unplug a router, and I can unplug a router. Like, for instance, when our church phone lines sometimes go out, and they'll call me on my cell phone and say, Pastor, the phones are out. Can you fix it? Like, oh, yeah, I got this. You just unplug something. I don't know what to unplug in that room, but we unplug stuff. And so I unplugged my internet router. Internet's not coming back on. So you know who you got to deal with if you can't fix it yourself? Customer service. And they say, you've got to go to your app. So I went to the app. And they said, you've got to chat with a digital assistant. You know what that means? Computer, artificial intelligence. And I thought, I don't want to deal with this. Now, we have to fix this problem. And so I thought, I've got to deal with this computer, this AI. I don't want to deal with that. I want to call somebody and fix this. When we set this up, Frank the technician said, we can fix this over the phone. I have access to all this stuff. I can fix it. And I was like, I want to talk to Frank the technician. I don't want the digital assistant. And so I logged in to chat. And it can't even talk with a real voice. You got to type it in. Back in the old days. And I thought, I got to deal with this computer. And then the line pops up and says, this is Patrika. I'm here to help you. And I thought, Patrika? There is no way the computer came up with that name trying to fool us humans. Like, I'm a human, just be honest. I'm dealing with a person. I don't know where that person's at, but I'm dealing with a person. The first thing Patrika asked me, have you unplugged the router? I'm like, Patrika, I'm ahead of you. I'm past that step. She says, what color is the light? Is it green? I'm like, no, it's red. Is it solid or is it blinking? We go through these steps. And then Patrika, who we're close to at this point, she says, did you unplug it from the wall? I'm like, yes, I unplugged it from the wall. Where else are you going to unplug it? We went through chatting together. We're close now for 45 minutes to an hour, back and forth. And she said, you have a problem. I said, really, all that? And she said, we're going to put it in a work order. Here's your ticket number. And I wanted to type so bad, where is Frank? Where is Frank the technician? He promised me he could fix this. And then she just says goodbye. Thank you for your graciousness. And then she had the audacity, do you want to take a survey? No, I don't want to. I want my internet work. I paid for this. Sometime later, it came back on. It would have been a lot easier on the front end if I could talk to the man who can fix stuff. We have this privilege of speaking to the God who changes things, who fixes things, who makes the wrongs into right. We get to speak with him. There's no customer service. He goes straight to God. You go to the God who has no flaws. He is holy. There are no imperfections in him. There's no waiting. There's straight to the one who changes everything. And he wants you to come and talk with him. There are no intermediaries. There's no angels. There's no secretary to get to the boss. It's him and his glorious kingdom. Pray. You get to speak directly to God. And he answers according to his will. The second reason prayer is personal is not just because you get to speak directly to God, which that is very true. The second reason is because, point B, you get to address your needs. Your needs. You get to talk to God about what you're facing. And God wants you to express your concerns with Him. Now, you can deal with the problems on your own if you want to, or you can bring all your problems to God and He can address them with you in a partnership. And so the phrase, give us this day our daily bread, that is not referring to Bible intake. That is not referring to, let's get this scripture, the daily bread. I know that's a devotional title, but this is talking about the food you need for the day. This saying, God, this is a very Baptist prayer. God, I'm praying about this food. In other words, God, I might not eat today. Give us this day our daily bread or food. The food I need to survive today, I'm praying for that. I don't know, has anybody in this room been so scarce in their pantry they think, God, I may not eat today. I may not have anything to survive. I dare say some of the application of that phrase doesn't apply to us because we're so blessed. Now, this phrase talks about addressing your needs, your concerns. This does not concern itself with your wants. So they say, I need my daily bread. I need to survive. I need to pay my bills. Sure. This does not say I need to be rich. I need more possessions. Or I need my sports team to win or not embarrass me. This is talking about the things we need, not necessarily want. It's asking God to supply what you need. And God understands what you need more than you do. So sometimes when we come to God and say, God, I need this. If I don't have this, I don't know if I can make it. Let God be the one who addresses that. So in your prayer life, here's what you need to bring to God on a regular basis, I say daily basis, when you're addressing your needs. The things you're worried about, you need to talk about those with God. The things that cause you anxiety or anxiousness, you need to have a one-on-one with God and talk about those things. All of your baggage, you need to bring to God and you need to dump the baggage with Him. Because God knows what you need. And you don't have to worry about it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and then we'll skip down to verse 31. About addressing your needs, going to God in prayer. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then down in verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, those unbelievers, seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In prayer, you get to speak directly to God. And you get to address your needs. Your real daily personal needs. There's a third reason I want to show you prayer is personal in the text. At point C, you get to seek forgiveness. Prayer is a time for you to get right with God. It's a time to confess, a time to get right. It's a time to get rid of sin, or the sin, Scripture says, that so easily entangles us. Let us lay it aside. Prayer is a time to renew your relationship. How can a person go into the presence of a holy God when they're burdened with a bunch of sin? That doesn't make sense. God hates sin. He doesn't want sin in His presence. In fact, the prophet Isaiah said, your sins have separated between you and your God. They've hid His face from you so that He will not hear you. sins push you away from God, but there is this dynamic in prayer. When you come to God, you can get forgiveness. And here's the good news for those, man, you've wrestled in sin, you dabbled in it, you're still messing with it. You can cast off the weight of your sin in prayer. That is the figurative language. You can get the burden off of your shoulders in regards to sin when you have forgiveness with God. He'll forgive you. If you ask, he forgives. But this, the picture of forgiveness and the burden being lifted and the penalty gone is in Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and who, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And listen to this, beloved. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. There is this oddity in prayer. If you ask forgiveness of God from your heart, in authenticity, he forgives you. He forgives. The God you get to talk to, who created everything, who sustains the universe by the word of his power, the one who sent his son to die for you, he also forgives you. This forgiveness is not meant for somebody else, it's meant for you. That you can have forgiveness with your God in prayer. Now, as God forgives you, you go to him and you say, I have been forgiven. What a great reward. What a great gift. If you have a broken relationship with someone else, how can you go to God and say, God, give me forgiveness, but I'm not going to give that person forgiveness? Or I'm no longer indebted to you. You wipe my slate clean, but they're still indebted to me. They wronged me. They did bad to me. Beloved, we've done far worse to God than anyone can ever do to us. In Matthew 18, the principle of the unjust servant, the wicked servant, the master forgave servant number one a debt that he could not pay. But yet that servant went out and went to another servant and said, you owe me a meager amount. I'm going to throw you in prison until I get what I want. And the master said, you can't do that. That's not forgiveness. I would say this, you seek forgiveness with God in prayer, but as you go in the presence of a holy God and you embark in his kingdom, you've got to forgive other people. It's not optional. The same weight of sin that God releases from us when we have forgiveness with him is very similar to what happens person to person. And I will say this, unforgiveness will eat you up. It'll wear you down. You won't have freedom in your Christian testimony until you offer, extend, throw out forgiveness. You say, Pastor, what should I do? Forgive them. You say, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Forgive them. I think there's something special about prayer that when we go to God, he gives us the ability to forgive. I'm going to tell you, beloved, just as I told first service, don't harbor unforgiveness. Give forgiveness and find release today. Forgive. Seek forgiveness in prayer. Let me give you the fourth, the final reason prayer is personal, according to Luke chapter 11. Point D, because here we find guidance and deliverance. We find it in prayer. The final stanza, and lead us not into temptation. Not that God would lead us to sin, because he is holy. He would never lead us to sin or commit sins. And that's why he leads us, not into temptation, but past temptation. Because when we face temptation, when we're walking with him, he's right beside us. And we don't have to be tempted and sin. We can walk past it. And that's why in Matthew's gospel, he goes into more detail, obviously, in the Lord's Prayer. He says, deliver us from the evil one. So it's not just guidance, it's also deliverance. And here is my admonishment for you to have prayer time in the morning. That before the day ever begins, you need to pray, lead me not into temptation. Lead me past it. The things that I face today, I know you're walking with me, Lord, and I don't have to give in to sin. I can walk past it. I don't have to let my thought life get out of control. I don't have to say what I want to say in the workplace. I don't have to commit sin. I can go past it because you're with me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So whatever problems you face in the day, whatever situations you know are going to come up, the best thing you can do is to pray before the day ever begins. Preparatory prayer. Saying, I want to get ready for the day. God, I want you in me, beside me, before me, after me. Because sometimes if we knew what the day held, we would pray a lot differently in the morning. If we knew our vehicle would break down, we would make different plans. If we knew the diagnosis given to us by a doctor in the afternoon were such and such, we'd pray differently. We'd prepare ourselves. Beloved, we don't know what tomorrow holds. God said tomorrow can worry about itself. Sufficient for the day is the present trouble. Prepare yourselves. Ask for guidance. Ask for deliverance. If we knew what the rest of our days held, our prayer life would be differently. Let me give you an example of that. Jesus warned Peter. He said, if you knew what were coming next, you'd prepare yourself differently. This is what he says in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But listen to this. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Man, if Peter only knew what was about to happen, he'd prepare himself differently. If we only knew what the day held for us, we'd pray differently. We'd pray for our children differently. Or our grandchildren. We'd pray for the people in our church differently. If we only knew what it held. And Jesus prays for Peter. And says, Peter, you may not pray, but I will. Not only do we have a God who created everything, who wants to meet with us in prayer, we have a God who prays, intercedes on our behalf. Even when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us and works it out for our good. We get to go speak with our Father. We get to pray. My aim is for your encouragement and prayer. I want you to pray because it's there in the text. Very personally, I want you to say, I want to spend more time with God. I want more. And I don't, prayer can be rather rigid and formatted if you so choose. But it's simply barging in to the property of your Father and spending time with him. That's what it is. I can give this example because my kids are not in here. Sometimes in the office, it can be very formal. Now, with church family and guests that we know of, I'm easy to access. But if you're just Joe Blow calling the church, guess what? You're not talking to me. You can't get to me. You will not come to my office, especially if the door is closed, because I'm busy. You know, spiritual things, writing sermons and the such. And even most of you would say, I'm never going to interrupt him if my door is closed. We're not going to intrude on him. Usually Fridays are my days off. I still work and do things. The funeral home call said, hey, we hate to message you on your day off. I'm like, yeah, because I'm so important. Most of you have the boundaries with me. You can't cross certain lines. But you know who has no such lines in their life? My kids. I could have the most amazing devotion time and they can come interrupt it. My door could be closed and I am crafting the greatest homiletical message known unto man, and my kids will barge in and they say, Dad, can I get on YouTube? I like to stay in my office and I'll bring soup or I'll bring snacks to eat, work through lunch. My kids come into their father's office. They go in there, listen, beloved, they steal my food. They eat my Pop-Tarts and they don't feel bad about it. You would never do that because I'm not your father. But my kids have this weird audacity because he's my dad. I can go and ask him for stuff and he gives it to me. He's got this weird standard of life. He's got all this stuff, and if I want it, I can go get it. Why are you not praying like that? God is your father, and he says, you come to me. Ask of me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The deer that pants for the water is symbolic of our soul who wants more of God. Man, barge in to the throne room of God. Grab a hold of the throne and talk to him. Spend some time with him. Why would we not do that? You have the power of the kingdom at your disposal. You talk to the one in charge of everything. And he cares about every detail of your life. He cares about the food, the clothing. He cares about your health. He cares about your emotional state. He cares. In just a moment, we'll have a time to respond. I want you to pray. Where you're at, if you want to come up front and pray with me, I'd love that. But maybe you've never prayed. Here's the first prayer. If you're an unbeliever, you're not a Christian yet, you can say, God, I believe that Jesus died for me. I'm placing my faith in him. I want you to make me into a new person. I commit my life. I repent of my sins. Change me. That's the first prayer. There's a lot more prayers that follow for the believer. There's other decisions after salvation that follow. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm going to pray and then we'll have a time of response. I pray this house of worship be turned into a house of prayers for all nations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Father, for the simplistic aim. Lord, make us people of prayer. Lord, I pray that you ignite the flames of revival and prayer to those individuals today. Lord, whether this is a reminder or a push to prayer, Father, I pray that we would respond by spending time with you. Father, whether we're faithful to do it on a regular basis or maybe we've just pushed it off, or may it happen now, no matter the backstory. Father, we come to you and we ask for your will. Father, whatever we need, we ask that of you. Father, we come and want to find refreshment with you today. Lord, we may need to find forgiveness, whether it's with you or, Lord, if it's a matter of forgiveness with someone else, may we find release. May the burden be gone today. Father, we pray for deliverance and guidance as well. Maybe we're struggling. Maybe we're having problems, the sin that so easily besets us. Father, may there be release. May there be freedom today. And may it happen through prayer. Father, use the avenue of prayer to draw us closer together as your church, to love each other more, to reach our community. Father, may it be birthed through prayer. Father, I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray that they would just spend time with you. Father, I pray you'd be delighted by our response. Father, we pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.